Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to that of Luke chapter 2. I just want to advance just to apologize. I've really had a cough here for a couple, 3 weeks, so if you hear me coughing in the middle of the sermon, it's to wake you up.
Amen.
That's what it's meant to do. That's meant to do. By the way, I am from Denver, North Carolina, not from Waco, at all, but from that of Denver. Glad to be here today. I recognize a few of you, and it's good to be here today. Just wondering here, heard that of testimonies, heard several of the young men say that they are evangelists, majors. Well, I'm just wondering, how many of you have the major of evangelists? Raise your hand. Hey, I see that lady, and I see that lady, and I see that lady. No, I'm just joking there. How many of you are pastoral majors? Just raise your hand there. Don't be ashamed. Raise it high, everything. How many of you are I've come here to find a husband major? Come on, ladies, we're in chapel, we're in church here. Don't lie. Hey, how many of you men say I'm available? Your name? How much money do you have? Not that much. Well, that's all right. That's all right. Amen. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I understand that one of your chapel speakers earlier this year spoke on this passage, and I'm going to speak on the same passage, but I'm going to go in a very different direction here today than he did. You know, that's the beauty of God's Word. There's only one interpretation, but many applications that we can have here, and I hope you'll listen very intently today. Now, listen, I know your minds could be a million miles away with midterms, spring break right around the corner. I know you're excited about that, able to get home, but I hope you'll listen, excuse me, very carefully to me here today. Starting with that, at verse 41, now his parents, we're speaking of Jesus' parents, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Now listen to me this morning. I want to speak on this subject. And that is this, that anybody can get away from Jesus. Anybody can get away from Jesus. Now, I probably can predict what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, preacher, we're in a wonderful place. And by the way, you are. Ambassador Baptist College is a great place. I remember when Ambassador Baptist College started some 20-plus years ago. I remember meeting Dr. Ron Comfort. I used to live in Shelby many years ago, and I remember those days. And this is a wonderful place. And you say, not just anybody. I'm here to tell you, anybody can get away from Jesus. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to that of God's Word here today, I pray, dear Lord, you'll help me. I pray, dear Lord, you'll help me when it comes to this cough of mine, Lord. I don't want it to be a distraction from anything that's said or done here this morning. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit be upon me. Fill me from on high. May, dear God, you guard my mouth. And Lord, as I even prayed in my church last night, Lord, and I pray the same thing here today, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, may I have something here that can challenge every single person. We thank you for the opportunity here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we come to a story here today that fills in some of the details that many scholars call that of the silent years of Jesus. Now, you do understand, we know a lot about the first 2 years of Jesus. I mean, that of the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke tell us about those first 2 years of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. We know about Mary. We know about that of Joseph. We know about that of the shepherds in the field. We know about that there was no room in the inn and how that they had to give birth to Jesus in that of the manger. We know about the angels that came and glorified God and pointed the shepherds to that of Jesus. We know from the book of Matthew about the wise men that came and how that they followed that star and they found Jesus. And we also know about Herod and that of his plot in order to kill Jesus. We know a lot about the first 2 years of Jesus. By the way, we know a lot about the last 3 years of the earthly ministry of Jesus. That's what the Gospels are all about. Telling about the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. About the miracles that He worked. The 35 recorded miracles that you find in the Gospels. We know about the parables that Jesus told. The 40 recorded parables that are found in that of the Gospels. We know why Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. We know that Jesus came to die on the cross of Calvary. All four Gospels tell us about that, about Jesus dying and about Jesus raising from the dead. By the way, listen, I'm here to tell you, never lose sight of why Jesus came.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Never lose sight of why Jesus came. By the way, you're the reason He came. To save you and to use you. But those years in between, we do not know much about the silent years. The only thing we know is found right here in Luke chapter 2. It is as if the Holy Spirit pulls back the curtain of the unknown and reveals for us and gives us a little glimpse of the childhood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, I don't think anything in Scripture is by happenstance. I believe everything of the Word of God is there for a purpose to teach us something very, very valuable. And the same is true of this passage here. So real quickly here, before I get to the meat of my message, let me share with you the background of what's going on. Here we've learned from this Scripture, we have the family of Joseph and of Mary. Jesus and His half-brothers and half-sisters, how that every year they would go to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of the Passover. Now, everyone here is a Bible student. You know what the Passover is all about. It's celebrating what God had done some few thousand years before in that of Egypt when Israel was in bondage and how God set them free, how they had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintels and at the foot of the door, and how that the death angel passed over, and they are celebrating that. But I think the reason this story is here, one of the reasons, is because this is a very important stage in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Jesus was age 12 when His family comes to Jerusalem. Now, you have to understand Jewish culture. Now, I think everybody here knows that one of the most celebrated times in the life of a Jewish boy is at age 13. They have what they call that of a bar mitzvah. That's when a boy goes from being a boy to that of a man, not only physically, but spiritually he is supposed to be that of a man. So what would happen in that of Jewish culture at age 12, a boy would then become what is called a student of the law. So that when he reached that age 12 and he's tested, he could, he could, He could recite what the Torah is about. He could answer questions about spiritual things. And so when Jesus is brought along with his family to Jerusalem, one of the things that's meant to be accomplished is that he is to start to become a student of the law. And that's one reason why we find Jesus at the temple. Well, you know the story? They celebrate that, the Passover. The Passover is over. By the way, the family lived in that of Nazareth. They have traveled some about 60 miles to that of Jerusalem. By the way, they didn't have cars. They didn't have Greyhound buses. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have ways to make reservations. I mean, the journey from that of Nazareth to that of Jerusalem was a several day journey. And now that the Passover is over, it's time for the family to go back to Nazareth. They start on their trek. We learn from the scripture they're not by themselves. They're traveling with others. I don't know who it was. Maybe it could have been with that of Elizabeth and her family. Maybe John the Baptist as a teenage boy was with them. Probably maybe Cleophas, brother-in-law, was part of them. Maybe they had a large caravan. But they're on their way back to Nazareth, and the Bible says they've gone a day's journey when they notice that Jesus is not with them. And they panic. They're frantic. They start looking for Jesus. They probably start going in every tent, probably started asking every family that was with them, have you seen Jesus? Do you know where Jesus is? Has anybody got a clue where Jesus is? And we read that they eventually come back to Jerusalem. Now stay with me. They go back to Jerusalem and they find Jesus in the temple. And here's the thing. Here's Jesus supposed to start a trek of being a student of the law, and it's here Jesus, the very Son of God, is teaching them what it's all about. That the Bible says that they are astonished at what Jesus has to say. Now, you may think this is a simple story, and it is a simple story, but it is a simple story with that of a great spiritual truth. Remember what Jesus did say. He told that of Mary and that of Joseph. He says, I must be about my Father's business. Please understand, when you read this story, Jesus is not being disobedient. Jesus is being exactly where God wanted him to be. He's the one who's in the right. And I'm here to tell you, there's a great spiritual truth in this story. It's a spiritual truth that illustrates certain realities. And that reality is this, is that, listen, anybody can get away from Jesus. Anybody can get away from Jesus. Now, before I get started, I must point out two very important things. First of all, this story deals with fellowship, not relationship. Please understand that. Hey, I'm here to tell you, relationship is an eternal thing. And by the way, I'm assuming here, and by the way, sometimes it's not the best thing in the world to do to assume, but I'm assuming here that everybody knows the Lord Jesus as the personal Savior. Can I have an amen and a witness there? You know the Lord. Amen. You know what that means? You are a son. You are a daughter of God Almighty. Yeah. And the very moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, you have entered a relationship that is an eternal thing. It can never, ever be taken away from you. Never. Never. I'm here. I love what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Hey, God saved you? That's forever. Amen. That's a relationship that can never be broken. It is an eternal thing, but hold on. Fellowship is a wobbly thing. What do I mean by that? Hey, you can never lose your relationship, but I'm here to tell you, you can lose your fellowship. Hey, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter who you are. Anybody in this room can lose fellowship with God. By the way, I can, I have, and I probably will again. By the way, don't you get so puffed up and think, it'll never happen to me. In fact, if you just got puffed up, you just lost fellowship with God. You just did. I'm here to tell you, anybody can get away from Jesus. We say, but preacher, I started off this day great. I got up this morning. I got up early enough. I spent time with God. I read my Bible. I prayed. It was a sweet time. It's a sweet time of fellowship. That's wonderful. But you know what? During the day, you could have got frustrated. During the day, you could have got irritated, agitated, and unfocused, and have lost your fellowship. Because I'm here to tell you, it can happen to anybody. Can I have an amen there? It can happen to anybody. So this morning here, real quickly, with the time we've got left, I want to share with you three things that I learned from this story, how that anybody can get away from Jesus. Anybody can get away from Jesus. Number one, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the people who got away from Jesus. The people who got away from Jesus. Now listen, I know what is about to happen. You're about to go on spring break next week, and I know you're excited about it. Your mind may already be on it. And when you go home, and you may encounter some people. And by the way, I know we got some people coming from all different walks of life. We got people from different places. We got some here from North Carolina. We got some from maybe from South Carolina, Virginia, or Tennessee. We may have some from foreign countries like California and West Virginia. We may have people coming from all different kinds of places. But when you get back home, being that you've been away from home, maybe at Christmas time was the last time you've been at home, when you get back home, you're going to find out some things have changed. There's going to be some people that you used to know at church and you're not seeing there, and you may ask about, you may do it this way. Hey, what happened to so-and-so? What happened to so-and-so? And they may respond back, you won't believe what so-and-so has done. In fact, you may know your home church so well that somebody may come to you and say something like this. You'll never guess who went and got drunk the other night. And what will happen is a name will pop into your mind. Someone may come to say, hey, you'll never guess who started shacking up while you were gone. And a name may cross your mind. Now, I'm saying all that for this reason. You see, our mindset, here it is, we're in a Bible college at a wonderful place. And our mindset is that it is only drunkards, dope heads, dirty mouth, dirty-minded people that get away from God. And that's a dangerous place to be. And that's a dangerous thing to think. Because I'm here to tell you, hear me and hear me well. I'm here to tell you, preachers get away from God. Hold on. Hey, evangelist majors. Evangelists get away from God. Hey, I'm here to tell you, deacons get away from God. Hold on. I'm here to tell you, Bible students get away from God. Hold on. Professors get away from God. I'm here to tell you, it can happen to anybody. In fact, look at this text. Who are the ones who got away from Jesus? Really? Who are the ones that got away from Jesus? It was Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus. Now, do you do understand that these two people were handpicked by God? Handpicked by God to be the caretakers of Jesus. I mean, God did not take some Jewish phone book, start wetting his fingers, start going down, and say, oh, I tell you what, I think that's a good guy. And flip over and say, oh, I think that's a good woman. No. God looked at Mary and said, listen, Mary, you are highly favored among women. She was a godly lady. She was a pure lady. She was one that God looked at and said, listen, this is a wonderful woman. Hey, the Bible says of that of Joseph, he was a just man. By the way, I believe these two people loved God intensely. They were two people that loved God. Yet these two people got away from Jesus. You know what that tells me? If they can get away from Jesus, I can get away from Jesus. And you can get away from Jesus. Now listen to me. Listen very intently. You may be a person who's here today, but you're not hearing today. You may be a person, your head is here, but your heart is not here. Now think about this. This is a wonderful place. This is a wonderful place. Backed up, many of you were involved in some sort of Christian ministry or service yesterday. You were in wonderful churches. But what's happened is, and you may not have even realized it, but maybe the singing doesn't stir your heart anymore. And the sermons don't move you anymore. And other saints don't motivate you anymore. And the reason being is because you have gotten away from Jesus. If you're listening this morning, say amen for me this morning here today. Amen. Listen to me today. You don't have to be out to be out. You don't have to be out carousing. You don't have to be out drinking. You don't have to be out doing going to honky-tonks and doing dope to be out. You can be sitting here at Ambassador Baptist College in a pew, and you can be out of fellowship with God as I speak here today. What am I saying? Look at the people. Look at the people. By the way, go throughout the Word of God. Some of the people that we study, when we talk about how that there were great men and great women of God, did you know there were times in their life they got away from Jesus? I mean, in my church, I just finished a study on the life of Abraham. I couldn't believe it. When I first started, I thought I'd have maybe around 10, 11 sermons. I ended up with 20 sermons on the life of Abraham. Can I tell you something about Abraham? Abraham got away from God. I mean, when the famine came, when troubles came, runs down to Egypt. Hey, there's a time that you read about they went to Gerar and where he lied about who his wife was and all those things. I'm here to tell you, Abraham got away from God. By the way, Moses got away from God. When God told Moses to speak to the rock, Moses got angry and struck the rock. I want to tell you, anybody can get away from God. Hey, what about David? A man after God's own heart got away from God. Hey, what about Jonah? You know, we look at Jonah and say, boy, I want to tell you, what a rebellious prophet. Did you know there's a time that God used him in a great way? There's a time he got away from God. What about Solomon? What about Samson? What about Peter? What about Demas? Demas have left me having loved this present world. You know what they tell you? There's a time that Demas was right with God. What am I saying? If it can happen to Mary, if it can happen to Joseph, it can happen to you, it can happen to me. Hey, let's be warned. Let's be warned. Notice the people who got away from Jesus. Then number two, notice the possibility. The possibility of getting away from Jesus. Now listen, I think I'm going to ask what is a natural question. And that is this. How in the world could two parents leave their 12-year-old back in the city, in the big city of Jerusalem? And by the way, and not know it. How could they spend a whole day and never recognize that Jesus was gone? Well, let me ask it this way. How in the world can you come to a place like this, go to churches like you did yesterday, be involved in a place like this and have singing like you do and have preaching like you do and have exciting things happen like you have happened here? How in the world can that happen and you still get away from Jesus? Well, stay with me. Stay with me. Imagine, if you will, Mary and Joseph. Here it is. Bible says they've left Jerusalem. And by the way, this is a huge caravan. Huge caravan. There's tents and maybe donkeys. I don't know what all they had, but here it is. They start going back to Jerusalem. They've gone that of a day's journey. They've camped for the night. Joseph's been busy setting up the tents. Mary's over there busy trying to fix the meal for everybody to enjoy. And probably Mary did something like this. Hey, Joseph, would you call Jesus? Tell Jesus, I need him here. I need his help. So Joseph starts going around, Jesus! Jesus, come here, son. Come here, your mother needs you. Jesus! And Jesus is nowhere to be found. Jesus can't answer. Now, in my mind, this is the way I think. I don't know what was going in Joseph's mind. Probably something like this. I want to tell you what, that boy has never, ever disobeyed me before. Never. Where is that boy? I tell you what. Now, can you imagine him thinking, I get hold of that boy, I'm going to give him a lesson he'll never forget. Saying this about Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that's happened, but let's just be human here. Let's understand what's going on. Jesus, where? Hey, probably goes over to Elizabeth's tent. Have you seen Jesus? Hey, John, come here, nephew, come here. Have you seen Jesus? Probably going over. And they eventually come to a place where they discover Jesus is not there. By the way, no car. They can't just get in the car and go back to Jerusalem and pick him up in about a half hour. Right? Hey, they can't whip out the cell phone. Call the sheriff's department. Ask a deputy to go start looking for Jesus. They had to go back and find. Now, you say, how in the world could they have left Jesus? Well, I wrote down a couple of possibilities. Just a couple of possibilities. Hey, could it be for Mary and Joseph that it had to do with the circumstances? What do I mean by that? Well, here it is. They've left Nazareth probably several weeks before, come down to Jerusalem. They celebrate that of the Feast of the Passover. Now they're on their way back. And you know, listen, any mother's mind starts racing. All right. Look at all this laundry I got to wash when I get home. I guarantee you, the dust at the house is that thick. I got all these things to do. And then there's Joseph. Man, I tell you what, I've had the shop closed for several weeks. I've got chairs to build. I've got tables to build. The mayor wants three doors built for that of his house. I got all kind of work. And what's happened is this. Their mind has got set on things that are about to happen or should happen. Now, y'all with me? You're in midterms right now, right? Midterms. I don't know if you have book reports or if you have reports or if you have essays due this week. I don't know what you've got. But if you're not careful, you're going to allow the circumstances of a life distract you from what is really the most important thing in your life. And that is spending time with the Lord Jesus. Right? Hey, you got spring break. You probably always, oh man, I can't wait till I get home. I can't wait. Listen, I want to go do this. I want to see my friends. I want to do this. I want to get with my pastor. I got all these things. I got all these plans. And if you're not careful, you're going to allow the circumstances to get you away from Jesus. Hey, I got to thinking about this. What about this? Could it be that for Mary and Joseph, it could have been the commotion. I'm talking not just circumstances, the commotion. I had the opportunity 3 years ago to take my family to that of Israel. And 3 years ago, we had that opportunity. I want to tell you what, if you ever have that opportunity, take it. It really is. It's one of the most wonderful experiences you'll ever have. It'll make the Word of God come alive to you. I'm here to... It'll start bringing things in perspective that you never thought before. Assumptions you had before will get blown away when you go to that of Israel. And I remember when we were in Israel, on one of the last days we were in Israel, we were in Jerusalem. And our guide took us through, walked us all the way from one end of Jerusalem to the other end of Jerusalem and took us down what was that of the market. I remember going down there. I want to tell you what. I was scared to death because I want to tell you, there were these shops. I mean, there were right on you here, these little carved out places, almost like caves. People had things over here. Over here, there were all these kind of carved out places and people had all their things they were selling. And while we're going to, there were people everywhere. And this was just an average day in Jerusalem. And the guide said, listen, Our bus is that way. We're going that way. Follow me. And our guide was one of the fastest walkers I've ever seen in my life. And here it is. Here's my wife. I'm not being disparaging, but my wife is 4'9". All right? And my daughter at the time was 11 years old, like this. And so they were scared to death that we were going to get separated in a foreign country, in a city where nobody spoke English. All right? So my wife is clinging to my belt back here. And my daughter is clinging to the other side of my belt. And I said, I see the guide. I see the guide. Our guide was walking. I'm going. And in the meantime, here's this merchant. Come over here. Come over here. Money, money, money. You know? There was all kind of commotion. Hey, can you imagine? Jews from all over Israel in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover feast and all the commotion going on. Can you imagine maybe going down the market street and Martha sees some cloth, some material. Hey, this would be wonderful to have. I could use some of this material that I can make some new clothes. I mean, Jesus is growing like a weed. He's growing out of them. I got to make him some more clothes. Can you imagine Joseph going over, seeing some brand new chisels and brand new hammers and rah, 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 you know, when a guy gets around tools? Really? Hey, listen, any man gets around tools, drool starts coming down. Yeah. Yeah, y'all know what I'm saying is true. Here's what I'm saying. Now listen, here's what I'm saying. If we're not careful, this is my point. If we're not careful, we'll allow the circumstances of life and the commotion of life. I'm talking about things like this. You got to work a job. I'm talking about things like this. You've got certain friends that you got to be aware that you got to spend some time with if they're still going to be your friends. I'm talking about this. You've got tests that you've got to study for this week. Right? I'm talking about things like this. You've got worries of life. And maybe some of you are married and on top of a job and school, you've got a family that you've got to pay attention to. And if you're not careful, you're going to allow the circumstances and the commotion of life take you away from Jesus. Y'all with me here today? I'm talking about the people who got away from Jesus. The possibility of getting away from Jesus. But let's end this sermon on a positive note. Excuse me. Notice the pathway of getting back to Jesus. Amen. Look at verse 44. But they... In fact, I want you to do this. I want you to underline a couple of words in this verse, if you underline or highlight your Bible. But they, underline this word, supposing. They supposing him to have been in the company when a day's journey, and they, underline the next word, sought. They sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. Can you picture it in your mind? Here it is. They're looking everywhere. They're looking in the tents. They're looking in Elizabeth's tents. They're looking in Cleophas' tent. They're looking all over. They're trying to find that of Jesus. Here it is. And they go back to Jerusalem. By the way, I want you to notice something here. Look at verse 44. How long did it take them to get away from Jesus? Notice what it said in verse 4. They went a day's journey. How long did it take them to find Jesus? Look at verse 46. And that after, what does it say? 3 days. Can I tell you something? This is one of them spiritual laws. It's a whole lot easier to get away from Jesus than it is to get back to Jesus. You know, I used to think, well, you know, when people got away from Jesus, they would slowly but surely, and they'd take little steps and little things they'd do, and little by little, they would slide away from Jesus. Hey, you know, I found out here over 23 years of ministry, I found out, Hey, there are some people in one day get away from Jesus. Not going into any detail, but I've got a brother-in-law that his dad died, and his mother's reaction to the death and other circumstances in one day has grown so bitter toward God. She don't want to have anything to do with the Lord right now. One day. I'm telling you, it's easier to get away from Jesus than it is to come back to Jesus. Now look if you, by the way, when they finally found Jesus, you know what they did? They blamed Jesus. Notice what it says, verse 48. His mother said unto him, "Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee." So, wait a second. Who left who? Who left who? Mary and Joseph left Jesus. Now, again, let's look at those two words. Supposing. Supposing. It says in verse 44, they were supposing that Jesus was with them, right? Can I tell you one of the dangerous places to be is to think you're with Jesus when in reality you're not with Jesus. Now, I normally wouldn't say this, but we're at a Bible college. I remember going to Bible college. Abraham Lincoln was my classmate. I remember going to Bible college. I remember what it's like to be in Bible college. I remember the excitement. I remember going to class. I remember coming to chapel. I remember all those things, exciting things. You know, sometimes there's a danger about Bible college in this way. You get in a little bubble. And just because you're going to Bible college and you're studying these things, you may think, hey, I'm with Jesus. Jesus and I, boy, we're tight. And you may be just like them, supposing. You remember in the Old Testament, Samson? Remember how he's laying in the lap of Delilah? And she's done all these things trying to take the strength of that of Samson, but finally when Samson reveals that he's a Nazarite, and then she cuts his hair. And remember what Delilah said, "Samson, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee." And you remember when Samson stood up and he said, "I'll do like I've done before." And the Bible says, he wist not. In other words, he was supposing God was with him, when in reality, God left him. But then I want you to notice that word, seeking. In fact, in verse 48, Mary said, notice this. By the way, she stumbled on the very secret to getting back to Jesus and didn't even know it. "I sought thee sorrowing." Can I tell you the best way you come back to Jesus? Here it is. It's by Jesus' own lips. You ready? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Do you hear that? Hey, I got test tomorrow. Seek ye first. What's first mean? It needs to be a priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. By the way, you come to God and say, "Well, here I am." Man, that's not the right spirit. In fact, here's the best way. "Lord, here I am. Dear God, I've gotten away from you. Dear God, I thought I was with you all along, but Lord, I've got distracted by all the things of this life. I got distracted by homework. I got distracted by relationships. I got distracted by tests. I got distracted by plans. And Lord, I didn't even realize it. I thought you was with me the whole time, but Lord, I see now. I left you. And Lord, I've come seeking after you. And Lord, I want to put you first in my life again." See, folks, I'm here to tell you, anybody can leave Jesus. Preachers, professors, parents, kids, teenagers, young adults, college students, evangelist majors, pastor majors, music majors, anybody can leave Jesus. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed with everybody standing. I'm going to turn over the service over to that of Brother Surrett here, and I want to tell you, I'm going to let him handle the invitation however he'd like to handle it. Listen to me. Listen, I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But the premise of my sermon was very simple. Anybody can leave Jesus. Can I just tell you something? And I'm not here to embarrass anybody. While I was preaching, there were several students who had fallen asleep. You hear me? Several students, and you know what? They're fooling themselves if they think they're in a right fellowship with God. I'm here to tell you, anybody can leave Jesus. Where do you stand in your fellowship? Where do you stand when it comes to where does Jesus come into your life? Brother Surrett?